Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the gift and the blessings of today. Lord, we thank You that You've given us a church family in which we can come and come to this place and love one another and most of all, love You. Lord, we thank You for the gift of grace, the gift of mercy. Lord, the gift of life. Lord, we thank You for life abundant. Lord, Father, I just pray that we as a church body continue to grow and multiply in this year to come. Lord, as we draw a close into 2018, Lord, I pray that You bless us mightily in 2019. Lord, I pray that we will become the church that You would have us to be. Lord, I pray that we would be surrendered to the call, to the way that You would have us to go. Lord, I pray that this morning You speak unto our hearts, Lord, as we close out this series of messages as the angels spoke to the shepherds. Lord, I pray that we take lesson from them this morning. Lord, I pray that this message speak unto our hearts. I would ask this morning, Father, if there's anybody here who's never known You in the free pardon of sin, if there's anybody here who's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then Lord, I pray in a special prayer that today they would be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray that if there's a Christian here who knows You but is strayed far away, a Christian, Lord, who needs a rededication, a Christian who needs to reestablish themselves in You, then Lord, I pray that today they too would come. Lord, we just want to give You this service. We ask Your blessings upon it. Lord, I ask that You use me but for a moment in time. Lord, it's all this we pray in Your holy, precious name. Amen. We've talked about this theme of it being the season. We've talked about a season for gift-giving, a season for remembering, a season for celebrating. And this morning, I want us to talk about how this is the season for now. Right now. You know, we talk about, and here next week we'll be talking about especially, what do we want for the new year? And about this time every year, probably most of us begin to think about New Year's resolutions. You know, where we want to be next year, the things that we want to do, the things that we want to change. And probably by and large, what do most of us want for a New Year's resolution? Everybody wants to lose weight, right? Anybody want to lose weight this next year? Anybody want to get in shape? Yeah, we all do. I've finally gotten to the point in my life where I've decided I am in shape. That's right. Round is a shape, all right? Round is a shape. But we talk about all of these things that we want, and here's the key thing. Whether you're talking about a resolution, whether you're talking about a relationship with Christ, the key thing about it is now, right now. It's too easy for us to say next week and next month and next year or when I get more time. Now, this is the season. Right now is the season for Christ. You know, I think about the message that the shepherds received from this angel. They were told, you know, as we learned last week, you know, a Savior is born. And we talked about the power of His saving grace and what Christ came to save us from. And as they heard all of this message and they knew that the Savior was coming, they knew that He was in a manger, it says that they went with haste. After they heard this, after the angels were gone, they didn't stand around and talk amongst each other about what they should do. It says that they made haste and they went and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in a manger. The point is, now is the time. You know, I think about the shepherds, you know. It says that they made haste, and it's good to point that out because they went in the moment. I think that too often as Christians, we don't act in the moment. It's too easy for us to say, next week, next month, next year, when I get things right, when things settle down, when I'm not so busy, then. But the shepherds went immediately and they found Mary and Jesus and Christ. You know, I can imagine probably that Jesus was not in a manger for very long. I would say after the first night that He probably wasn't staying in that manger any longer. So we know that the shepherds probably went quick enough and soon enough that they still found Jesus laying there in that manger as the angels had told them. As we move forward into the Christmas holiday season, as we move forward into 2019, as a church, as a body of believers, I want us to understand the importance of now. Not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. I want us to understand the importance of now. And how do we make haste? How do we move into where the Lord wants us to move in the next year? The first thing that I want you to see is this, is the shepherds and we as a body of believers, we have to make the decision that we are moving forward. Amen? We have to make the decision that we're moving forward. We're moving into 2019. It's not 2017 anymore. It's not 2018 for much longer. It's 2019. The Lord's blessing us with a new year and a new opportunity. It's time to move forward. How often do we as God's people get hung up in the past, things that have happened over time? We want to think about what happened last year. We want to think about what happened the year before. And I can tell you that I'm the absolute world's worst for worrying about things that have already taken place and that I no longer have any control over. Anybody else right there with me? Yeah. Amen. Somebody will be honest. But I can tell you this. Now is the time. Now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to let go of the things like the past. How do we move forward in our relationship with the Lord? You know, it's so easy for us to say, I'm not good enough. It's so easy for us to say, I haven't done enough. After I've done this, or after all that I have done, or all that I haven't done. How is it that the Lord can love me? How can I ever move forward? How can I ever move beyond what I am? I can promise you this, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. God has loved us so much that He has given us His Son. We celebrate this holiday season because God literally gave us His Son, sent Him in a bodily, humanly form, and on the first night of His life, He lay there in that manger, and the shepherds went in haste in the moment, right then in the present. And they saw Christ Jesus. And since Christ in His coming, there has never been anything that can separate us anymore from the love of God. I think about Paul in his writings, the book of Romans chapter 8. Paul in Romans chapter 8 in verse 35, he said it this way. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of the sword? He said in verses 37, 8, and 9, he says, no. He says, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said in verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Look at that. Paul went through this long list of all of the things that cannot separate us from the love of God. And then here he says in verse 39, he says, there is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, Christian, believer, non-believer, it's time to move forward. You don't have to ask yourself, you don't have to say anymore, after all I've done, after all that I haven't done, after the person that I've been or haven't been, you don't have to say that anymore because now is the season for moving forward. Now is the season for moving past all of the excuses that you and I have for why we can't love Him, for why we can't serve Him, for why we can't be dedicated to Him. Or maybe it's that you feel that God can't love you. I still find people in serving the Lord, I still find people who occasionally believe and say, I don't think that the Lord can love me. After all that I've done, after all the terrible things that I've done, I don't believe that God can love me. I promise you and I tell you now, just as Paul told us, there is nothing that can separate us from God and His magnificent love. Here's the thing. You got to trust in Him. You really want the key to moving forward? Trust in Him. You see, when the shepherds left that place in the field where they were at to go and find Joseph and Mary and the Christ child, they left in haste. Why? Because they trusted what God's messengers had told them. They didn't question it. They didn't talk about it amongst themselves. They made haste and they went and they found Him. I think that one of the greatest struggles in moving forward in our relationship with God, sometimes moving forward as a church, is just the fact that we do not trust Him enough. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Man, that's a major one. Trust on the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. How easy, how compelled are we to want to trust in what we know? We always feel more comfortable with what we know. We always feel more comfortable a lot of times with the things that are assured in life. And it's difficult to trust on the Lord, because trusting in the Lord is all about what? It's about faith, the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. It is difficult in moving forward in serving the Lord. It's difficult sometimes for us as earthly-minded people to move forward without seeing and without touching. To move forward solely based on this idea of faith and hope. But when the Lord speaks, I believe with all of my heart that we can trust Him. He says, move forward. Don't lean on your own understanding. He says, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make straight your paths. That's the great thing about the God that we serve, is we don't have to rely on our own understanding, because if we believe and we acknowledge and we trust in Him, He'll show us the way that we should go. Amen? This is the season for moving forward. Church, as much as this is the season for moving forward, I believe that as we move forward, there are some important things that we have to do. I believe one of the chief among them is letting things go. I had somewhat of a different message for you this morning, but in some of the things that I deal with personally, sometimes it moves me in the direction that I share messages. So, if this message doesn't apply to you, then it applies to me, and I hope you get something from it. But if nothing else, God speaks to me. I believe if we're going to move forward and do it successfully, we have to be able to let go. We have to be able to let go of a lot of things. I thought about the shepherds as they stood there and they watched by these flocks. Three of them, they went, they gone. They left the flock. You ever think about that? You ever think about this idea that these men who are tending animals for which are immensely valuable to them, they left those animals that they could go find the Christ child based solely on what the Lord told them through His angels. I thought about that, how that they gave up probably their livelihood, how that they left very valuable animals in the fields, unprotected, so that they could go and do what the Lord told them to do. Sometimes we have to let go of things. Let go of things that are important to us. Maybe that means money. Maybe that means homes. Maybe that means friends. But if nothing else, maybe it means sin. We talked about this last Sunday, how that God sent us a Savior. How that the Lord, through Christ, sent us somebody who could save us not only from ourselves, but could also save us from our sins. And I believe if we're going to move forward in our relationship with God, if we're going to move forward in our relationships with each other, in our relationships as a church, we've got to let go of some things. For some, it may be letting go of hurt feelings. Anybody had their feelings hurt this year? Church full of liars. I'm going to ask this question one more time. Anybody had their feelings hurt in 2018? Yeah. Who had their feelings hurt in the car ride over here? Yeah, tell me about it. Goodness. Listen, we live in a society where everybody becomes upset about anything. You can become upset about absolutely anything. People are more sensitive now than they've ever been in their lives. And it troubles me, it burdens me, because I tell you what I worry about. I worry about the next generation of people who are going to be soldiers and firefighters and EMS workers and police officers, because they're having troubles overcoming being personally offended to the point that it's getting hard for them to do their jobs and survive in the workplace. Let me tell you, I've worked around young officers who are new into police work. I don't know how they're going to make it, because they become so sensitively upset by almost anything. Young people, I encourage you, don't be so sensitive. All right? Stop being so sensitive. Older members, I encourage you, stop being so darn sensitive. Get over it. Grow a little skin. Let some things roll off of your back in the year 2019. Let some things go. It's difficult for me sometimes to let things go. People upset me. They bother me. You know, I've shared with you before that there's been people, we all have people in our life who we'd probably just like to smack. Anybody? Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. There's people in our lives that bothers to the point that we just We just like to knock them in the head, as my grandmother used to say. That's life. We have to let things go. We have to let things that have hurt us and bothered us and upset us, we have to let them go. And that's been difficult for me this year. I've dealt with a lot of personal struggles that I don't share in the pulpit because I wouldn't burden you. But my wife would tell you, if you ask her, that I've dealt with things this year that have bothered me immensely, personally and emotionally, at home, at work, and elsewhere. And for me, I have to be able to let things go. Why? Because God already has. You know, I think about all the people that I've ever become upset with and disgruntled with and tired of because of the things that they have done to me. Sometimes we have to let relationships go. Sometimes we just have to forget some things. We have to forgive things. Why? Because Christ has forgiven us. We have to be able to forgive others because He loved us so much that He forgave us, and we sinned chiefly against Him. And yet the Lord loved us so much that He still gave of His Son, that if we believed in Him, we might go free. You see, we have to let go because God already has. I think about Paul in his writings in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come." He says, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God reconciled the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Look at that. God through Christ reconciled the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteous of God." God loved us so much that He did not count our trespasses against us. He didn't say that you sinned against me in the garden. He didn't say you did what I told you not to do. You followed the direction of somebody else besides me. You've lived your life in sin. You've done all of these terrible things. You've been an addict to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, to all of the things in the world that I've told you not to be addicted to. You've turned and trusted in so many things besides myself. He's never said, because you've done all of those things, I cannot give my life for you. Knowing all of those things, He forgave our trespasses and He sent His Son to be a reconciliation, a restorer. Sent His Son, a perfect one who never knew sin, sent His Son to be sin that we might be reconciled and restored through His death. God has already let everything else go. If God can let all of those things go and send His Son to die for me, how can I say that I can't let it go? How can I say that I can't forgive? How can I say that I should hold on to my sins when God loved me so much that He came and He gave His Son to restore me to be His righteousness, is what the Scripture says. This year, we as a church have to embrace the idea of moving forward. And that means letting go. But along with letting things go, I believe as we move forward, as we do what He says to do, as we live in the now, I believe we also have to move close. One of the chief reasons that we find ourselves going back to sin time and time and time again undoubtedly has to be because we don't live close in our relationship with the Lord. We live close to so many things. We're close to our sin, we're close to our hobbies, we're close to all of these things in life that we enjoy and that we want to do. But how close are you in your relationship to God? You see, the shepherds left the flock, they let everything go, and they moved closer to the Lord, to be in His very presence as He lay there in a manger as a newborn infant. We've got to make the decision right now that we're not just going to move forward, that we're not just going to let it go, But we've got to make the decision that right now we're going to move closer to God. I want to tell you something about God. God never moved. I have people that ask me all the time, you know, I don't feel God's presence. Why did God move? I have people tell me all the time, I feel so alone. Why did God move? Why did God leave me? Why did God forsake me? Why did God do all of these things that I would feel so far away from Him? I want to tell you, God never moved. Never. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 4 probably gives us the greatest example of this as he says, I am a God at hand, declares the Lord, and I am not a God who is far away. He says, can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I'm not a God who is far away. He says, I'm a God who is right here. I am a God who is on hand. I think about also in the book of Jeremiah how it's the people turned away from God. God asked that poignant question. He said, what sins have I committed against you that you would leave me and forsake me? You see, God didn't leave His people. God didn't forsake His people. But the Lord asked of His people, what sins have I committed against you and your fathers that you would leave me? I promise you this. We are the ones who need to move closer to God. Because it is we who have moved away. Can anybody remember when they were young and in love? Wow. John Fuller's it. Wow. I'll be offering counseling services this next year because I believe it's in high demand. Does anybody remember being young and in love? All right. Does anybody remember the day before bucket seats? You know, when you had the bench seat. Oh, yeah. You got a smile on your face, brother. You really remember them, don't you? Yeah. I believe that Brother Delbert can remember the day when he and Juanita sat so close together and you put your arm around her while you're driving down the road. Okay. There you go. And they sat so close together, probably wasn't an ounce of sunlight between the two of you, were there? Not much. Man, remember those days of being in love? Can't do that with bucket seats now, but back in the day you could do that. And then what happened after about 15 or 20 years of marriage? She's sitting so far on the other side of the car that she could probably roll the window down and climb outside sometimes, you know? Over time, there's this tendency to want to move away. And I promise you this, I'm sure it wasn't Delbert that was doing the moving, because he's in the driver's seat. Much like God, we want to say, God, where did you go? God asked, what have I done that you left me? I can promise you, we have been the ones who've made the decisions to move farther away from God. Now is the time to move close, to be close with the Lord. To call on His name. Psalm chapter 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. When's the last time you called on the Lord? When's the last time you cried out to His name? When's the last time that you confessed your sin before Him? When's the last time you asked God to move in your life? When is the last time that you asked God just to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, to take control of your family, to take control of your situations in life that you really should have been entrusting into Him all along? When's the last time that you did that? For some, maybe never. Maybe you're here and you've never called on the Lord. You've never one time in your life called on the Lord and asked Him to come into your heart and to come into your life and to save you. Now is the time to do that. Right now, here today. This is your time. This is your opportunity for you to come and to give your heart and your life to Him. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, all of those who call on Him in truth. If you earnestly and truly call on the name of the Lord, the Word of God tells us you shall be saved. He is faithful and just to save us, is what His Word tells us. If you've never called on Him, today you can call on Him and be saved. Maybe as a Christian you know Him, you've had a relationship with Him, but over time you have moved away from a God who is at hand, from the God who is always ever present, who fills up heaven and earth. If you've moved away from God, would you not call on Him and restore your relationship with Him, because He's given His Son, Christ Jesus, to reconcile us and to restore us? Maybe you need to let things go. There are people that have said and done and hurt you. Maybe it's time to forgive and let it go. Maybe letting go means ending relationships, changing jobs. Maybe it means letting something go that has taken over your life. Today you can let go of that sin. You can let go of all of those things that hold you back. But I promise you this, it is time to move forward. As churches, as believers, as God's people, now is the time to move forward. As our praise and our worship team comes, this is an opportunity now where we'll close out from a time of preaching. We'll give you an opportunity to come and you to respond. However God is working on your heart, however He is leading you, you come. If you've never been saved, would you not come and give your heart and your life to Christ? Because today, now, as one verse of Scripture said, today is the day of salvation. Would you not come and give your heart and your life to Him? As a believer, you've moved away. Your relationship is so much less than what you know that it should be. Would you not come? Come or dedicate your heart and your life to the Lord. Maybe you're just ready to move forward. Maybe you want to come and pray for our church. So many good things are happening in our church. We need to pray that God continues moving us forward. You come. Father, Lord, as we close out this preaching service, Lord, as we move to a time of invitation, a time of response, Lord, I pray so earnestly that there's somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin. Somebody who's never been saved, I pray they come. Lord, a Christian who needs to let go, a Christian who needs a rededication of their heart and their life. Lord, somebody who just so earnestly needs to move forward, Lord, I pray that they will come. However You're leading the hearts of Your people, Lord, I pray that we'll respond. It's all this we ask in Your name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.